Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your quality window tinting source. SunTech Carbon XP window tint looks hot, keeps you cool, and protects you and the interior of your car. Backed with a worry-free warranty. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
The Republicans have walked out in order to protect you, to protect all of us here. And I know that those that are on the climate change cuckoo train, they think that they're protecting people by destroying life as we know it.
Sure.
That's honestly what they think. And Mr. X is here to explain the pathways that brought us to this level of delusion. It's always good to know that what we're looking at here, this is a long, long-term policy of gangrene and the technocrats trying to get. And the only way that you can get that sustainable development and pathway to 2020, pathway to 2030, Agenda 2050. Notice how all of them are saying you shall be at this all done by 2050. As an example, you can be paying three, four bucks a gallon extra in carbon taxes on fuels, things like that.
Right.
It's been a long time plan.
For the social justice aspect of life.
That's right, because, well, we all know that you don't have a right to live in anything other than an urban stack and pack of housing, and we certainly don't want you on the land. And you're not going to need a car or a truck or anything else. You don't want independent mobility because there's going to be a self-driving Uber that'll come pick you up.
Right.
Of course, what you're going to be doing for a living, well, we don't care about that because, well, we don't care about you. That's essentially what is going on. And we disagree here on this show. And I would imagine if you're listening, you most likely disagree with this pathway, too. But there are certain Bibles and pathways that we can explain to you here, and we're going to try to break it down briefly.
That's right.
With a few minutes with Mr. X, our crack researcher. This is the guy who spends days and days and days, and he'll call me up and he'll say, "Bill, you're not going to believe what I found here," because these green types and the big technocrat controllers that want you under their thumb, including Kate Brown and the people who support Kate Brown, they hide the scandal right out in the open. It's right out in the open. They really make no secret of it. They're rather proud of it.
Right. And, you know, their pride is their ultimate weakness. And I look at this and as long as we stay vigilant, as long as we stay understanding on what the actualities are, we have to observe one thing. No matter how many times they want to use an idea, if we have to fight that and tell the truth, and the truth shall ultimately set us free. The reality to it is these men are doing their duty. Now I'm going to try to equate and show you how they're doing their duty and show you some of the things of the pathways that these people do not have the right to do. Now, the United States, as a nation, pulled out of the Paris Accord. Okay,
yes.
That's well known.
But Governor Brown and her fellow travelers, and the same with Jay Inslee, and same with the Annie Tuesum Newsom, they're wishing to continue to do what the United States government has pulled out of.
Well, here's the deal. The fact is Oregon is still a state, one of the states making up the United States of America. To do that, they had to sign an admissions document into the federal union, guaranteeing us a Republican form of government. That's the simplicity of it, okay? If you understand that simple concept, that places the Constitution of the United States literally in a superior mode to the Oregon Constitution, because that's how it's listed in an order of priority in every document, okay?
In matters of which is the the primary jurisdiction
that's
of the
right.
United States.
Right. So now you have to look at the law. Well, the whole thing about HB 2020, it's drifting to an interpretation of the public trust doctrine to have itself as a supported instrument and a belief of these few people. Now, we've talked for years. How did the state of Oregon allow or get to a point where only a few people decided the course of the whole state? Well, these are the methodologies. Now, when I look at, when you go to this, I took Bill to this, it's called Evolved Energy Research. Now, the term is the Northwest Deep Decarbonization Pathways.
This is a post they just put up on June 11th
right.
that Mr. X found. So just a couple of weeks ago here. And there is a paper. I'm going to post this, by the way, up on KMED.com. Right. I'm going to post their technical right. paper, too, for those that want to read. But we can certainly go over the basic summary of where they're going.
That's what all I'm going to try to do. And, you know, during the part of this, you have to understand, though, I'm going to take one paragraph, okay, and just to give everybody a point of clarity. The Clean Energy Transition Institute, CETI, released Meeting the Challenge of Our Time, Pathways to a Clean Energy Future for the Northwest, the first study to examine the technical and economic feasibility of achieving deep decarbonization in Idaho, Montana, Oregon, and Washington. Evolved Energy Research was engaged by CETI to evaluate roadmaps to achieve steep reductions in energy-related CO2 emissions for states in the Northwest and outline the practical implications of achieving mid-century climate targets.
Now, are they talking about mid-century of this century or of because you hear them talking about reducing because they're talking about having our carbon dioxide emissions reduced to 80% of 1995 with a much smaller state.
Now here's where I'm going to read one line out of the bottom of this. Now, so you understand, everything that they just talked about is basically an introduction and a broad-based idea, but underneath this, they have a list, a dotted list of different things. But the first item says, a nearly 100% clean electricity grid is required to enable decarbonization across all sectors. Now, I'd like you to go back in the past conversations and the past things that we've brought out. How much clean energy is in our grid right now?
It's a small fraction, maybe... Well, they don't count hydro.
That's right.
They don't count hydro. So we have, it's roughly 8%.
Let's go on a daily basis. You were talking about this the other day. What was it, 3 minutes a day for solar?
Now that's solar. Yes. Solar is 3 minutes and 30 seconds a day on the grid. And the wind power is in the neighborhood of 6 to 7. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But it's a very small percentage of the day.
It's a very small amount. So now to achieve, they need to get 100% to achieve anything that they want to do. So you got to think logically. You got to look at this and say, well, what is the rationale? How do they intend to achieve this, to achieve 100% clean energy? Now, I have no problem with working towards clean energy.
No one does.
You would have my cooperation if I could sit down and understand the plan that you intend to follow and that I have input into that plan so that it does not affect my life, my children's lives, and my grandchildren's lives.
What the challenge has never talked about with Evolved, I love even the name of the think tank here, Evolved Energy Research, which is to imply that if you disagree with their technocratic tyranny, that obviously that you're a knuckle dragger, you're devolved, as it were. That's sort of the implication. I love the marketing term here, but what they don't talk about, and I don't think they even address this, is that every so-called clean energy solution which is out there, everything from wind to solar, has to be backed up.
Right.
Has to be backed up because it's not always there. And they really, they kind of sidestep this. So I can show you right now how Australia, if you go to the website stopthesethings.com, they're going against wind power because they've had wind power foisted upon them from the left. Well, the left was thrown out of power there because people are just having their grids go down.
Right.
You know, they have to go to generators. Well, stores close because of the interruptibility of wind and solar and other clean energy solutions.
Right. And remember that to have the wind and solar and clean energy, you have to have storage systems. And the two major storage systems are batteries, large battery backup grid storage systems.
Very expensive.
Very expensive and very dangerous because they're using lithium-ion batteries. If these things go into meltdown mode, you cannot put the fire out quick enough, okay?
And what's the equivalent? It's the large equivalent of the Teslas exploding into flames.
Right.
Just sitting,
I look at this and I say, okay, So how are we monitoring the people that are having input? Because the people that are having input are the radical part of it. Okay. As a, you know, we talked about this with the smart grid implementation. We talked about the input, the stakeholder input, because everything is done on a predetermined outcome. And the predetermined outcome is to reach this goal, even though they can't do it, to implement the imposition upon us before so that we have to agree to their predetermined outcome.
And House Bill 2020 is key to this kind of agreement. This is where they're going. This is Kate Brown's Bible that we're talking about, folks, here. I wanted to add another aspect. I'm going to take a little bullet piece from this one here. Let's see. The optimal use of sustainable biomass resources is developing liquid biofuels for hard-to-electrify transportation end uses. Right. So in other words, they want biodiesel, I guess, for that's essentially what they're talking about. Now, this is interesting. Flexible electricity demand, notably from facilities that produce hydrogen and synthetic natural gas, play a large role of electricity balancing and energy system-wide carbon mitigation. The thing is, though, natural gas is a carbon-based fuel, but they want to say that's okay if you're balancing off the gangrene world. At the same time, we're not supposed to be using natural gas, and we're supposed to triple the cost of it with HB 2020 or put it up big time.
Now, at this point, with all you just said, with all I just said, I want to go back to the video the other day of Kate Brown standing in front of a bunch of children talking about how the Republican senators are so evil because they've destroyed these children's future, their carbon future.
My carbon climate fate has been decided.
And
right?
She sits there and just exposes herself to this ideology that is just flawed in every way because she is the one that's an impediment to their future. And they are being tricked into standing behind her. They are being abused mentally because they are being made to fear for their lives. That's the reality here. That is a mental abuse, and we need to stop that. We need to start encouraging these kids that the future is what you make it.
And I would also add, as parents, if you have children in school, have you approached your school board and your teachers to say, knock this crap out?
That's right.
As far as this indoctrination, your curriculum?
You're telling my child that he has no future past 12 years from now. Unless we go into meltdown mode on our adherence to the Constitution of the United States of America and the things that make this place a state and make it good in the first place.
And yet, even if we had deep decarbonization, we would still have, as even the state of Oregon, the scientists ended up telling the state legislature, no net effect. It wouldn't affect anything.
Legislative council informed.
Take care of the microphone there, Mr. X. Yeah, let's take
that
microphone.
Better?
Yeah, I thought I fixed this one. I'll go back and fix it another day.
I was losing it there, I guess.
Yeah, but they already said that it wouldn't work.
Well, it has no net effect. She wants to do this for the world. She wants to affect global climate change, but it will have no net effect. So what is the purpose and need if it has no net effect? Well, the purpose and need is it adheres to the laws of the United Nations. Now here, this is where I will take you to the preface in this document, which comes off of the other deep carbonization. And this is a document called Pathways to Deep Decarbonization in the United States. It's 118 pages long. And basically, it's U.S. 2050 report, Pathways to Deep Decarbonization in the United States, Energy and Environmental Economics Incorporated, E3, November 2015, okay? But it's important that you understand a couple of things. The Deep Decarbonization Pathways Project, DDPP, is a collaborative global initiative to explore how individual countries can reduce greenhouse gas emissions to levels consistent with limiting the anthropogenic increase in global mean surface temperature to less than 2 degrees Celsius. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of that paragraph, but I got to go to the next one. The DDPP is led by the Sustainable Development Solutions Network and the Institute for Sustainable Development and International Relations, Currently, the DDPP includes 15 research teams from countries representing more than 70% of global greenhouse gas emissions. Well, there's 30% already missing that have no inclusion in this. And one of these countries here is the United States. Now, we pulled out of the Paris Accord, like I said. We pulled out because the restrictions are ridiculous. This thing is ridiculous because there, unless you have a rapid depopulation, okay, if we lose, you know, 3/4 of the world's population and take it down to what the actual believers of this want is 500 million worldwide, what do you have? All of the production is going to shift to China. All of the actual productive capacity of the United States, if you got rid of it all, you get rid of our total greenhouse gas emissions, they still have to produce for the rest of the population of the world. So it's going to occur somewhere. 30% of the countries are already out of this picture. But the countries that are there, do you think they're not going to adapt to that and say, well, we're going to eliminate all of our productive capacity too? No, they're not. This is a sham at the highest levels. It's a sham to have this governor stand there in front of a bunch of kids saying, we have to limit your future in the world so that these people can have their way and we can adhere to international law instead of the laws of the United States.
And this is why the Republicans walked out, and this is why we support and these Republicans having
walked out.
That's
why they're doing their duty. They're trying to hold on to the last semblance of what we have as a country and show an intruder into this that wants to subject us to this a pathway into exiting her office, hopefully.
All right. Deep decarbonization strategies for the Northwest. And we're going to post this on KMED.com on the show blog today. Mr. X, and we just wanted to make sure that you understand this is why they are going out. And I would add, I agree with you. I wish that we could I'm continuing to try to educate these senators. You have to look at the law and call this entire 2020 process out, which has been controlled by policy consensus gangrene through the university system right from the start. Well, it's been a fraud right from the beginning.
We have to start calling out our local news sources. Okay. Now we also
I don't think our local news sources are sophisticated enough to even get the nuance of this, because I mean you're talking about usually a bunch of 22-year-olds just got out of grad of journalism school.
Well,
I mean they're nice people, but you know, frankly, they've just been produced by the same system that inculcated these teenagers that are saying and wearing T-shirts, my carbon fate will be decided when I'm 25. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. I think that's a real problem, Mr. X.
I got to tell them right this. In my belief system right now, their carbon fate was decided the moment they were born. And it's the same carbon fate as I had. There is no carbon fate that's going to affect you at that point. You have the fate of an intrusive group of people that want to control your life.
And I would add that let's just go down that road and say that the Earth is warming and that there is some. And now, given the fact that all the human CO2 is only 5% of the natural planet's output here, supposedly that's tipping us over there. Well, why don't we mitigate that? Why don't we work on creative ways to mitigate that if it really ends up rearing its ugly head? Yes. Because it has not.
Well, I look at this as such a sham, Bill, like I said. And if you go into the HB 2020, okay, this bill was written and brought before the legislature by a student a lawyer who graduated from Oregon State University, Environmental Law Division of that school. Okay. Now, they have a disclaimer on a paper. It's called a primer, the Public Trust Doctrine Primer. And the disclaimer basically, you know, it's so important to understand. The university, the School of Law, and the ENR Center make no warranty, express or implied, and assume no legal liability for the information in this paper. Nor does any party represent that the uses of this information will not infringe upon privately owned rights.
So there we go. Even the people behind this whole decarbonization scheme admit that this is their dream.
Their goal is to decarbonize, but their goal is to infringe upon your privately owned rights.
So get on it. Continue
to understand what this means. Yeah. I don't care.
I know that. We're almost out of time, though, so I want to make sure
you hit the
solid action plan. We'll post all this today. Please read it if you could. You just want to understand this is another one of those pathways that has driven us to this point. And, you know, for you just sitting and, hey, I want you supporting the Republican senators that are trying to deep six
That's
this fraud
or
at the or at the very least getting it on the ballot by having the emergency clause go away. All right. At the very least, if they pass it without an emergency clause, we, the people, can then take it on.
Well, I don't want to take it on. It should never be there.
Well, okay. I would agree, but and I'm talking about thing. Political realities here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. But we have to show a political reality of our discontent with the people that would force this down our throats.
So get on the horn with Pam Marsh. Get on the horn with Jeff Golden. Get on the horn with these people that are going out there and continuing to distort what's really at stake here
in
Southern Oregon. And they're just kind of walking around in la-la land. Because remember, Pam Marsh yesterday on NBC5, this is just us adapting to the reality that they're forcing on us. It's not a real reality.
She's also the one that wanted us to adapt to the reality of the smoke in our air. Mm-hmm. All of these people. I mean, you want a carbon sink, but yet you want to burn it down.
Burn the forest in the summer,
You have to restore it first. So what are you talking? You're talking 40 years to restore a forest after it burns, if it burns catastrophically.
And then if it burns multiple times.
And if it burns multiple times. You look at these people, it's idiotic what they want to try to do.
So stay on the phone, folks. I want to make sure.
Stay on the phone.
All right. And keep sending money and supporting these people, too, with the Leadership Fund. Gordon's in Medford. Hey, Gordon, is it Gordon Charlstrom? How you doing, Gordon?
Good morning. Yes, it is. I was talking with a friend last night, and he was upset at the politicians for not revealing the fact that by 2035, under this bill, 50% of natural gas use is supposed to be eliminated, and by 2050, 100% of natural gas use is supposed to be eliminated. And he was really also bothered by the fact that politicians, and local ones at that, aren't coming out and stating these facts to the voters.
They don't want the voters to know, Gordon. They don't.
Well, I believe there are some Republicans that do that need to, put some light on this so that people understand what the repercussions of this bill are going to have on our future lives.
Isn't that astounding that right now natural gas is backing up so much of the gangrene preferred power, you know, the way they
exactly.
look at it. But then they want to eliminate it entirely by 2050.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So outlawing methane. Boy, that's a great plan. Thanks for the call there, Gordon. We always appreciate that.
It's crazy.
Yep. It is crazy.
It is.
It is an insanity.
This isn't
about to be a climate denier. You know, that's the other thing that they always like to toss out at you. We deny that they have the right to destroy us based on a lie or a distortion or a theory.
A theory and theme is how they call it. A theory and theme. That's how they've constructed this whole thing. It's in theory and themes.
All right, Mr. X. We appreciate it. We'll have you back. Thanks for digging into it.
Bill.
This is why it's important. The information, like I say, they're very proud. They're very proud of this stuff. They have it right out there.
And we're the Luddites. We're Luddites in their minds. And we're not. That's the absolute part of this. All we're doing is trying to stand up for what we need to do as people and live and understand that this is still a sovereign country. We do not have to have a direction or pathway into something that comes in from outside of this country. And as far as this goes, sustainable, when you have the word sustainable development, please understand that this is attached to a legal framework, a legal documentation from international law through the United Nations. So if you're going to implement the pattern of these things, you better start explaining what you're actually asking the people to accept. And that's got to change.
All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Mr. X, 834, KMED, KCMD. No, one person just emailed me, I think, and said, get on the horn with Jeff Golden. I emailed him last night, and he hasn't answered. No, I would say call him. I would say call. Yeah. I think calling is very effective. It's a little less difficult to ignore that.
That's right.
Sometimes the email could just go into the circular dumpster.
Right.
Okay? It's 835. Point well taken, though.
Welcome to Rogue Valley Coin and Jewelry.
Here. And for supporting the fight. It is so important to have you here, and also important that you go and you share the truth of what is going on around us here. These attacks, House Bill 2020, why it is so important. This really is a battle for our lives. And while those on the other side would make you think that for some reason the 5% of human CO2 production, 95% of it, the vast bulk comes from just natural sources out there in the world. But somehow the 5% that humans do is killing us all, and that we're not dealing with natural cycles. Well, I'm going to get Gregory Wrightstone on the program tomorrow. He's that geologist, lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he is weighing in on the Oregon cap-and-trade bill. And remember, scientists, big in this one, and we're going to continue to bang on this so that you are armed with this information. The inconvenient truths, as he terms it, you know, the inconvenient facts. That's the book that he put out there, the Inconvenient Facts app, too. All right? Now then, when I return here in a couple of minutes, because Shane's going to catch us up on the news, we have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Since you are a real American, you would love a $20 gift certificate from Diner 62 on Highway 62, just south of White City.
Dave.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.7 KMED and FM 99.3 KCMD.
Barbie is up here first on the Real American Quiz for Diner 62, Highway 62, just south of White City. Hi, Barbie. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Great to have you on here. Today, a very famous day in history, June 25th of 1876. You know what happened that day? You recall? I'm sure you remember. Right at the top of your head, right? Okay. All right, I'll help you out. General George Custer, leading 250 men, attacked an encampment of Sioux Indians near Little Bighorn in Montana. And Custer and his men were then attacked by 2,000 to 4,000 Indian braves. The question for today, how many of Custer's men survived the attack? Was it 0, 1, 2, or 4? What do you say?
I think it was 0.
You're going to say 0. No, it was more than 0, but gosh, it was nice talking with you, okay? The next time, she's saying, I want to call in again. Get in there. So we'll go to Joe. Hello, Joe.
Good morning.
1, 2, or 4. How many of Custer's men survived Little Bighorn?
Let's try 2.
Let's try 2. No. It was not 2. It's either 1 or 4. Let me go to Dusty. Hey, Dusty. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
1 or 4 men survived Little Bighorn. What do you say?
4.
4. So I guess that means we go to... I know, not believing this, right? Mike, how are you feeling?
Hey. Pretty lucky today.
Yeah.
How about one?
One.
You're a winner!
Yes.